presenting the transcription feature, Superman.
Up in the sky, look,
it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman.
Where is Clark Kent? The minute he gets back, send him in.
Here I am, Mr. White.
Oh, Kent, where have you been?
Down in the cellar helping the police.
Turn up anything? Any sign of a bomb?
Not a thing, Mr. White. We combed the building top to bottom. Anything turn up here?
Not so far. What's the time?
It's 4:00. If that fellow really meant business, we've only got about 2 hours to go.
Call in your office, Mr. White.
Oh, thanks, Lois. Oh, by the way, Kent, I don't think you know Miss Lane. Lois, this is Clark Kent.
Oh, how do you do?
You wait here till I get back, Kent. I'll be a minute.
Well, the boy wonder, huh?
Why, Miss Lane, what do you mean?
They tell me you talked yourself into a job, went out west, and came back with the biggest story of the month. All in less than a week.
Well, I guess I was pretty lucky.
I'll say you were lucky. Now you're the white-haired boy.
I'm afraid I don't quite understand.
You got the old man hypnotized. He thinks you're Horace Greeley.
I'm afraid I don't.
Oh, don't act so dumb. All this nonsense about a time bomb in the cellar. What's the big idea?
Miss Lane, I only wish I knew.
You mean to tell me you didn't make it up out of your head?
I certainly did not.
I don't believe it.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Comics in the Golden Age podcast. This is Mike Lane, and I want to welcome you back after our unplanned but somewhat extended hiatus. I know it's been a while. I don't want to get too far and morbid in the explanation, but if you recall, in November and December, our schedules got a little chaotic. One of the reasons I had mentioned was having a relative in the hospital. Sadly, relative passed away, and again, I don't want to get too into the details here, but needed a bit of a break to deal with some stuff, you know, as to be expected. I have missed it, though, and I've been looking forward to getting back to it. Chris and I spoke a little bit about how to jump back into it, and we decided that we're each going to try a few mini-episodes first before we do a regular, longer episode. Seems like a good way to kind of stretch our legs and get back into the groove of things. I know one of the things we were planning to do, and I'd really been looking forward to for a long time, was a Hal Foster Prince Valiant episode. Since we really want to give that one our best, and it's something that we've both been looking forward to, we decided, you know, not going to get to it right away. We're going to knock these mini episodes out first. Now, something else I've done recently, and I don't know, a lot of you may have seen online, is Ollie's Discount Store has been having a hell of a big sale of graphic novels. I don't know if you live near an Ollie's. If you're on social media at all, you may have seen people talking about it. It's generally just DC graphic novels. I know Ollie's carries others, but this came out of a giant sale of DC backstock they got. I heard it was like a dozen trucks or something ridiculous, but it meant that Ollie's all around the country have just been getting loads of graphic novels. I've been twice, and I think I've stocked up on, I don't know the exact number, but it's at least 30. For insane prices, like $3 to $5 a pop. And it includes some DC Showcase, a lot of their 75th anniversary specials, a lot of the Superman and Batman in the 40s, 50s, 60s, etc. They have some other really nice, they have a Brian Bolan art book, which is normally fairly expensive, but I think I got it for like $5 or $6. Among the stuff I got was actually quite a bit of Golden Age material. I was originally planning to use the Superman in the 40s book as sort of my first episode back, pick a story out of that, but I've also been reading the 75th anniversary Lois Lane hardcover. And I've been finding more new stories in there that I've never read before. And so I thought, well, I'll cover one of those. It's going to be a very early story from Action Comics number 6, cover dated November 1938. It is entitled The Man Who Sold Superman. The actual on-sale date of this one was September 26, 1938. Now, I'd mentioned this volume had a lot more stories I'd never read before. This is one of the few I had actually read in some of the DC archives, but it had just been a very, very long time, so I pretty much went in blind. I couldn't remember hardly anything about it other than the title sounding familiar. I'm going to start out by just reading a few of the panels on the first page directly off. It opens, there's a nice image of Superman in sort of the top large panel flying over the city metropolis, and it says, Superman, the amazing adventure of the strongest man on Earth, dedicated to assisting the helpless and oppressed, is a mystery man named Superman. Possessing super strength, he can jump over a 10-story building, leap an eighth of a mile, run faster than an express train, lift tremendous weights, and crush steel in his bare hands. His amazing feats of strength become more apparent day after day. Newspapers headline his activities with ever-increasing regularity. especially assigned to track down all Superman news, is Clark Kent, meek ace reporter of the Daily Star. One day, Clark receives astonishing news when summoned before his editor. He is introduced to a man named Nick Williams, Superman's personal manager, which, as you can imagine, comes as something of a shock to Clark. Clark dismisses the claim as absurd, but Williams insists it's true. He also makes an offer to the Daily Star. If they promise to keep up their Superman coverage, he will offer them news of his exploits before they even occur. The editor is intrigued, but Clark wants proof that Williams can do what he claims. Williams invites Clark to his office at 5 p.m. so he can give Clark the proof he demands. He also turns on the radio just in time for them to hear a commercial for a new radio adventure starring Superman. And out the window, they see an ad banner for a new gasoline also named Superman. The editor exclaims, "Good Lord, what's next?" And Williams points down the street to a billboard advertising a brand new car, the Superman, which is accompanied by the image of the Man of Steel. Williams tells them, "I've also licensed Superman bathing suits, costumes, physical development exercisers, and movie rights, to name a few. Why, I've even made provisions for him to appear in the comics." Crazy. After further questioning, William tells them Superman was the one who approached him about a partnership, and Williams even offers to have Superman come to their 5 p.m. meeting for a personal interview. Outside the office, an inquisitive office boy has been eavesdropping, and he rushes to tell Lois Lane that Clark Kent is going to interview Superman in person that night. Of course, this gives Lois an idea, and she tracks down Kent for some heavy-duty flirting and a dinner invitation for that evening. He mentions that he has an assignment, and she gets angry, so he relents and offers to take her along. Later, Clark arrives at Lois's wearing a lovely top hat and takes her dancing. At the club, of course, the singer chooses a brand new song titled "You're a Superman." Elsewhere at the office of Nick Williams, a meeting is taking place between Williams and Superman, or at least some random guy dressed up as Superman. He is worried about the idea of being interviewed by a reporter, but Williams assures him that their plan will work, especially now that they've rigged up the office to make it appear that he has powers like Superman. Meanwhile, Clark asks Lois if she is ready to leave, and she asks for one more drink first. When Clark turns away, she surreptitiously drops a drug into his drink. Soon, Clark is just passed out right on the table, and Lois sneaks out. Of course, as soon as she leaves, Clark gets up and follows because the drug had no effect on him. Williams is surprised when Lois shows up to his office instead of Clark, but he plans to continue on with his charade. The fake Superman climbs in the window and proceeds to put on a show by lifting the desk with one hand and bending a steel bar. Lois is not impressed, however, and she shows that she knows what they're up to by lifting the desk herself and bending the steel bar. She also tells him she's met the real Superman in person, so she knows this one is a phony. She goes to leave and Williams grabs her, and he begins pulling her towards the window. Fake Superman is initially reluctant to go along, but Williams convinces him that they have no choice, and the pair toss Lois out the window. Fortunately, in a scene very reminiscent of the Lois save in the first Christopher Reeve movie, the real Superman swoops in and saves her. Okay, there may not have been a pimp in this old comic book version, but you know what I mean. Anyways, Williams, the fake Superman, flees into an elevator, but Superman rips the door off and stops the pair. He takes the pair to the police station with Lois, who files a report of their crimes. A police officer asks them if they admit the charge of murder, and at first they try to deny it, but then glance Superman staring at them through a window, and the fake Superman quickly changes his tune, fearful of what the Man of Steel may do. He admits everything, and the two are taken away. There are a lot of interesting aspects of this story to me. First, of course, is the idea of the marketing of Superman. The fact that the real Superman would not be a party to such a thing in the comics, despite the fact that in real life we know that Superman marketing is about to explode at the time this comic came out, and pretty much has never stopped since. And I think the writers themselves seem to be in on the joke or irony of that, and that they made a point to say that he's soon even going to be in a comic book. I should mention that the radio show premiered on February 12, 1940, and this issue had an on-sale date again of September 1938, so it was a long way off, but there had been enough pulp and action heroes on radio by that time that it would be obvious to envision Superman as being perfect for a show. I also thought this was a good choice for selection in a Lois Lane anniversary book. I've had mixed feelings on the contents of these 75th anniversary books, particularly a couple of them I thought really didn't have enough Golden Age or even Silver Age material before jumping on to the 90s or more recent, but Lois Lane had a pretty good mix of each era, and this story in particular is perfect, exactly the sort of thing that should be here. It's very early in Superman history. It shows that Lois was an important supporting character right out of the gate. We get her romantic feelings for Superman, her almost disgust with Clark at this time. Although her flirting to set him on the date was a nice change of pace for the time, and we get to see how ruthless she is when she friggin' poisons Clark to knock him out at the dinner. Lois did not play. The ending is also a great example for the time in that Superman basically intimidates the villains into confessing their guilt. Something, of course, the Superman we know today would never do, but in the early 1940s, Superman didn't give a damn. He would do what he had to do. Some interesting trivia here. This is still taking place at the Daily Star. We have not seen the Daily Planet yet. The editor in this story is not specifically named as George Taylor, but he is drawn as the editor of this period, the man who appears throughout his early run and will eventually be given the name Taylor in Superman 2 in 1939. Perry White wouldn't appear until he's created for the radio show in 1940. So for all intents and purposes, this is George Taylor. We also have the young office boy who was eavesdropping, and most sites give this as the first appearance of Jimmy Olsen. Yeah, that young blonde boy is credited as being the first comic appearance of Jimmy Olsen. Now, that has always bothered me a little bit, because Jimmy technically was created for the radio show. This office boy was not intended to be Jimmy Olsen. Now, once Jimmy Olsen was named in the radio show, he did look like this character in the next few appearances, so I can see why he's credited that way. But again, I kind of have a hard time with it since I know that he was not intended to be Jimmy Olsen at the time. And he also looks completely different than the redheaded character we come to know later. He's blonde, he's much younger, he really only looks like he's 13 or 14, if even that, tops. And Jimmy really didn't appear much in the Golden Age. It wasn't until the Superman show of the 50s that he came back really as a bigger character. He had been gone by that point for, God, I want to say maybe a decade. I can't remember exactly, but he'd been out of comics for a while, despite being in the movie serial as a character. But the movie serial was kind of more based on the radio show, really. So all in all, I enjoyed the story. It wasn't the greatest thing in the world, but I thought it was a nice selection for this book and a good little amusing Superman Lois story of the era. It gives you a good feel for the dynamic they had during the Golden Age.
Spent a week on the docks with rats and frizzed hair exposing the biggest gun smuggling ring to hit this town in 10 years, and what makes the front page? Some sprouty new age granola crunching fluff piece on angels. What's next? Interviews with Bigfoot?
Good timing, Lois. I want you to be the first to know I'm hiring a new guy on the city desk.
Is he cute?
You tell me.
Oh. Hi.
Hello. This is the guy, Lois. Clark Kent from Smallville.
Smallville? Never heard of it.
Have you ever been to Kansas?
God, no.
Okay, I want to talk a little bit more about this 75th anniversary Lois Lane hardcover that I read this story out of, just in case you want to know a little bit about the contents. One of the features I really love is they reproduce a few of the stories from the Lois Lane Girl Reporter series that ran in the mid-40s. These are kind of amusing. Lois basically gets some lame assignment, like one, there's a kid reports a stolen piggy bank. But inevitably, by the end of the story, she's brought down some major crime ring or something. And usually the guys start out making fun of her for her assignment, and she humiliates them all by coming in with the greatest story of the year. So I kind of like them. They're a little bit, as out of date as that title, Lois Lane Girl Reporter, is, the actual stories themselves are ahead of their time. They also have a number from the early issues of Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane, often drawn by Kurt Schappenberger. I love him. I love the way he draws Lois. And one of it's got that infamous cover of Lois Lane looking in a mirror, and she's grown really fat, and it's called The Fattest Girl in Metropolis. Not going to claim it's aged well, but it is pretty amusing to read from a modern perspective. And talking about infamous, it's also got I Am Curious Black, the 1970s tale where Lois turns herself into a black woman. I'm sure you've seen that cover online if you follow comics at all. course, it's got issue 2 of the Man of Steel series by John Byrne, where he meets Lois. It's got another, it kind of jumps around the time periods based on different themes. It's got another great Schaffenberger tale. This is probably my favorite from that era they put in the book. It's an imaginary tale called Mrs. Lois Kent, the Wife of Superman. And basically, they're raising kids. And it's kind of a neat take because it's the idea that, you know, life with Superman isn't as perfect as she always dreamed it would be. There are some problems to it. And it's a particularly sexist moment where she tries to go back. She had stopped working when she married Clark. And she tried to go back as a reporter later, but a newspaper wouldn't hire her because they just wouldn't hire married women with kids. I think he said something like, oh, the minute they get a cold, you'll quit to go back and raise the kids. It's pretty sexist, but a fun story nevertheless. And it's got Superman 484, I'm sorry, Action Comics 484, which has that beautiful Jose Luis Garcia Lopez cover of Superman holding Lois in a wedding dress. And the story itself is actually about how the Earth 2 / Golden Age Superman married his Lois Lane. It's also got a story from the All-Star Superman series by Grant Morrison, one that features him and Lois, where she basically is given superpowers for a day by Superman. I like that series a lot, and I like that story. There's also a number of extra covers in the back of the book, too, from various books featuring Lois. I have to admit, I was not actually going to pick up many of these 75th anniversary editions because the one I had been most excited about and the first one I got was the Shazam one, and I was fairly disappointed with what they decided to put in it. I didn't think there was nearly enough Golden Age. They included the Jeff Johns one, reboot one from the New 52, which I was not a fan of, and I understood why they had to do it. But I really didn't like the selection of books overall they chose. I mean, not that they weren't good stories, but it was not what I would put together if I was going to celebrate, 75 years of Captain Marvel. So after that experience, I really wasn't aching to track the others down. But of course, thanks to the sale at Ollie's, I now have quite a few of them. I got the JSA one, the Robin one, the Teen Titans one. So now that the Lois one has been a much better experience, hopefully some of the others will be that way as well. So, hey, if you have any interest in this and you live anywhere near an Ollie's, go check them out. You might get lucky, even if it's not the 75th anniversary. Man, they have a ton of other stuff to choose from. I got quite a number of the DC showcases, Super Friends, Men at War. I picked someone else up some Superman books they were looking for. Oh, just a ton of stuff to choose from. I saw DC Archives there. Unfortunately, I couldn't get many because I already had them. But I saw Commandy, I saw Seven Soldiers of Victory, one of my favorites. I know I saw a few others that I can't remember now. But again, go check it out. Hopefully you'll get lucky like I did there and find some stuff you love. One other thing I should mention, I have totally decided to start collecting Superman's girlfriend Lois Lane. It's partly due to this book. It's also partly due to a lot of the covers I've been looking at. If you follow our Twitter page, you have seen several times over the last few months I have posted quite a few covers from the old Superman's Girlfriend Lois Lane series, and they are just amazing. They're just silly, goofy, fun, and I'm not saying that ironically. I absolutely love them, but just the bizarre stuff that Lois is going through, the weird love triangle stuff involving Lana. It's just, there's so much Superman being a huge jerk. Lois not necessarily their best behavior either. They just look glorious. And I've read quite a few over the years. I got the Superman Family Essentials that reprinted a number of them. I've got a few sporadic issues here or there I picked up in cheap bins over the years, but I've never really had an aching desire to go back and actually try to collect the series. I do have quite a few more Jimmy Olsen issues over the years. For whatever reason, that's where I kind of gravitated to. Maybe it's the Fourth World connection. Maybe it's the Legion of Superheroes connection. But in any event, I am sold on the Lois series, and I'm definitely going to make it a point to try to go get a lot more of those when I'm at conventions and such. And with that, I think I'm going to wrap up this mini-episode. It does feel good to kind of be back after taking some time off. Not really sure what we're going to do in these sort of next few we're going to put out. Just kind of wing it for each of us. I know Chris had an idea or two, and I have a few as well, but we'll see. You know, whenever the mood strikes me, we sit down to record, and hopefully it won't be too long before we're back to doing full episodes. So for those of you who have been following the show and are back, thank you for your patience. I really appreciate you sticking with us. And if you're new, welcome. And with that, goodbye.
Lois, I have loved you from the moment I saw you. I love your humor, your passion, the way you just dive right in, even when you shouldn't. Because you refuse to just watch the world. You demand that it be a better place, and because of you, it is. And today I want to give you as much of the world as I can. So I give you my heart, my soul, our future.
Lois?
Clark, you're my best friend. Until I met you, I never had a best friend. And falling in love with you has been so easy. I don't know why I fought it so long. You have such gentle grace and such quiet strength. And mostly, such incredible kindness. I've never known anyone with as pure a heart. And so, today, I give you my love and my honor and our life together.
Lois and Clark, I now pronounce you husband and wife.